You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Now we want to turn our attentions to farming because obviously a very important part of the local economy for all of County Clare, not just East Clare. But we're joined here in our outside broadcast unit in Tulla this morning by local Fianna Fáil councillor and former mayor of Clare, Pat Hayes, by Martin McMahon of the ICMSA in County Clare, and by Eddie Punch from Cracklow. He's general secretary of the ICSA. And good morning to you all. And thanks very much for joining us in the programme. Eddie, I'll start off with yourself. How has 2018 been as we approach the end of the year for farming in Ireland?
It's been a very tough year. Obviously, we had fodder crisis at the start of the year. We had the drought in the summer. And that put immense extra cost on farmers. Now, lucky enough, the back end gave some relief in terms of getting more fodder in. So we think with, you know, if we get any bit of a hop of the ball in the springtime, the situation has improved.
And by hop of a ball, do you mean the weather?
Yeah, the weather, right? Now, obviously, the cost that has been incurred can't be got back. And that's why it's been a really difficult year, because we've seen here, and I've been very critical about beef factories who, in a year when farmers were on their knees, orchestrated cutting beef prices on a systematic basis over the autumn time. And it's caused immense pressure and immense disillusionment in the beef sector in particular. I think dairy farming, well, Martin can talk about that a bit as well, but they've had challenges in terms of feeding cows throughout the summer. But again, a difficult year all round, and added to all of that is the uncertainty around Brexit, which is in complete disarray.
And we'll get onto that in a second, because as much of uncertainty as it has caused, I suppose that the potential is there for further fallout. Councillor Pat Hayes, what's your own assessment?
Well, I think, and thank you very much for having this debate here, because, you know, funny enough, agriculture doesn't make the headlines anywhere anymore. It's not cool even to talk about these issues. And indeed, there seems to be an immense putting your head in the sand and not talking about it. I've been at a number of marts in the last few weeks, and to see the whole feeling of farmers and how they're feeling about where they are at present, and a whole disillusionment of where they're going forward, is really frightening in my view.
And what do you put that down to?
Well, I think Eddie alluded to it in the first place, the collaboration by the beef sector to try and reduce prices at factories has fed its way all through the system. Mm. And I think a look at the suckler cow and the beef industry in that sector alone, people are walking away from sucklers at the moment because of the costs associated with it. They're probably better off to be doing nothing. They make more money doing nothing, which is an awful thing to be saying about our land and our communities. And indeed, the effort by the government in terms of 40 euro was a great joke. When you hear people talk about it, 40 euros instead of a basic payment to people to try and help them to try and continue in the suckling. Mm. But 40 euros to go on, weigh cattle and continue with that, I'd say the take-up will be very low. But it's a very poor recognition of the issue that's facing people.
But when you talk about disillusionment that you're picking up amongst the farming community, I'm wondering if it's more than just what we've already touched on. The weather has caused its problems, no doubt, and Brexit is an issue, and pricing is an issue. But in your opening remarks, you touched on how maybe farming has fallen down the pecking order of importance. Farmers are typically a resilient bunch, so disillusionment isn't something I would associate with them. I wonder if there's a bigger issue than just the day-to-day issues, if that makes sense.
Well, we're here in the heart of Tulla, and you're very much dependent on keeping the farming community and the community alive. And you have businesses here at the back of us, Vaughan's, Littleton's, all those people, and the shops in Tulla, depending on the farming community. And when the farming community is under stress, the whole towns and the villages. So there is a sense of not getting on well and doing well. Mm. And there's a lot of people, the future, when you go into March, you see an awful lot of older people. You have an awful lot of people that have moved away from farming. Younger people aren't taking it to the same level. Yes, dairying is cool at the moment, but that has its major challenges as well. At the swipe of a pen, and with a big issue, the price of milk can drop. So next thing, that's...
Sure,
so they don't see a career, a future in it, and that's a very worrying trend. And that's the big issue that's affecting people. And you can see it and you can feel it everywhere you go.
And Martin McMahon, that's something that you and I have talked about often before in terms of the ageing profile of farmers, which is right across the board. Is it as bleak as maybe Pat and Eddie have made it out to be?
Definitely. And definitely when you go to a mat or any place like that, when you see the age profile of people who are there and...
what will it look like in 10, 20 years?
It looks like, at the present moment, it looks like it'll be nearly a dying industry. And I suppose, you know, if that's going to be the case, and the other thing that has been highlighted of late is that there's a 40% fall in the fertility of land over the past 10,
the week, yeah.
Over the past 10 years. So if that's the case, if the fertility of the ground is falling and the people that are using it are disappearing, it looks like to me that the industry is going to go backwards rather than forwards, and we'll go back to levels of production that were back 20 years ago. And if that does happen, the whole thing will change more so for the people who are dependent on food than us, actually, because the people who would be left in farming will probably see prices increase, and the consumer is probably going to suffer from the price of food is going to increase. So if that change comes about, it will mean less money coming into the county, less money coming into Tulla, coming into all the local areas. Mm-hmm. And
the provincial towns,
yes,
and the villages.
Yes, it will have a big knock-on effect. So you'd be hoping that can be reversed, but from what I can see, our present minister, he has his head in the sand. He's definitely he's not getting the picture, because if he was, he would see what's happening in rural areas.
We were going to talk about Brexit, Eddie, but we were going to talk about climate change. We might still do that, but I think the three of you, and certainly Pat and Martin in particular, have touched on this broader issue in farming. Let's try and flip it. What's needed? How do you kick this industry out of this funk?
Well, I suppose we have to go right up to the top and look at where things are starting to go wrong, or have been going wrong for a good number of years, actually. So, on the one hand, we have our Foodwise 2025 strategy, the national plan, if you like, for agriculture, which has been totally focused on Ireland Inc. So the big strategy is to increase agri-food exports from 10 billion to 19 billion. And in fact, we've gone quite a bit of the way in doing that. But the problem with that is that the extra 9 billion of agri exports is not trickling down to the farmer at all. It's all about industry, processors, retailers, making more money. But farmers are being asked to run faster, to stand still.
But is that really the case? Because there will be people listening to this, probably not from the farming background, who will be hearing you all and saying, hang on a second, farmers are getting, in their eyes they'll say, the farmers are getting handouts more than most other industries. The industry is growing, as you just outlined, Eddie, and here you are playing the poor mouth.
The actual fact of the matter is that the cap supports are going down in real terms for the last 20 years. The actual facts of the matter are that cap supports are not really a support to farmers. They're a support to ensure the consumers in Europe pay less and less of their final wage in buying food. That's cap supports are for consumers, not farmers. Let's not make a mistake about that. At the same time, the European Union has not been strong enough in curtailing the power of retailers or of processors. We have a scandalous...
Is that Irish government issue?
No, it's a European issue as well. We need transparency over who's getting what margin out of the food chain. And I'll give you one example. A couple of years ago, it was decided that it would be published what every single farmer got in terms of supports from Europe. Even if you only got a few hundred quid, your name was put up on a website to say what you were getting. And this is irrelevant. Who cares if someone is getting 800 or 900 euros a year out of cap? Mm. But they want to have that level of public scrutiny over the least powerful player in the food chain. Yet we have no clue what profits are being made by beef processors. They're allowed to hide away their profits in Luxembourg. We have no clue what margins multinational retailers like Tesco, Lidl, Aldi are making off the back of farmers. Farmers spend 3 years making a decision to put a cow and calf to the stage where that calf ends up as beef on the shelf. The processors spend a couple of weeks slaughtering the animal, and the beef spends a couple of days on the shelf. And yet the processors and the retailers are making all the margins and the farmers are left with less and less. That has to be tackled. We need to blow open where the money is being made and start squeezing retailers. We have too many big corporations who are making more and more off the back of farmers. And we could say the same about the input suppliers like fertilizers.
But Councillor Hayes, if what you're all saying is an accurate reflection this morning, then places like Tulla, where we're sitting today, again, these villages and rural towns, they're going to suffer, because even if you're not in farming, the money circulating locally is incredibly important. And yet I don't hear any political party, your own included, making as big an issue of this as you all seem to be saying that it is.
Well, of course, everyone is talking about rural development and everyone thinks it's a great word, and you hear all the grants that are going out here and there. But if you don't start dealing with the issues at source, and the issues at source are, 20 years ago, people were getting the same prices they're nearly getting now for cattle and milk. But the costs have tripled and quadrupled, I'd say, in that particular period. So the actual profit and what people are making in the land is failing miserably.
But where is the voice from the Irish government to speak up on behalf of the farmer, or even amongst the opposition politicians?
Well, as I said in my opening remarks, it's a poor relation now, because it's controlled at a higher level. When you think now,
well, there's hundreds of thousands of people living in rural Ireland. There's votes to be won here. I don't want to be cynical, but you know,
of course, there are votes to be won. It's not about vote. It's about people. It is about communities. And nobody seems to be tackling the issue at source, really. And whether it is more funding from CAP, whether it is anything that's going to come and try and keep people here, because at the moment, in terms of a business, a farmer in trying to keep a business operational, it's costing him money. In the majority of the farmers that I represent around here, and the rural, the more peripheral farmers are on the back tit altogether, as I'd say, and they're not doing well at all. And the more progressive farmers, the dairy farmer, the big beef farmers competing with feedlots by Goodman and all the big factories up the country, they're actually have commercialised it to suit themselves. Mm. And it is moving away from the smaller type farmer to try and become the big farmer. And as I said at the outset, the Minister for Agriculture hasn't mentioned the West of Ireland and Suckling, and then make a great announcement, oh, we're paying out the payments sooner. It's your own money they're paying you. And as Eddie has totally alluded to, is CAP payments are going down. And indeed, if CAP payments is left in the morning, you might as well close down rural Ireland. And I think there's a major crisis here, and this is affecting an awful lot of communities around this county. And it's not the small farmer. In fact, the small farmer is surviving away as he normally was, because he's probably a part-time farmer anyway.
He's got another income.
And if he hadn't, and that has been the way for a long time, if they hadn't another income coming into the house, they might as well be getting out of it. And I hear day in, day out, people says, we'll reduce our numbers here and we'd do better by doing less. And that's a very bad thing for trade in small towns and villages.
There have been, though, some positives. Eddie talked about increased exports. I mean, you hear positive stories from farming around the time of the ploughing championships in particular, when there is that rare focus on this issue, a lot of very positives come to light. We've invited the three of you here because you're all learned and we respect your opinions. Is it really this bad, Martin McMahon?
Definitely, it's very bad. And I suppose, you know, this year now, especially because we had live exports going to Turkey, which was crucial. I always maintained live exports was essential to Ireland, because 90% of what we produce has to be exported out. And unless you keep down the numbers going to the factories, you will not keep manners in these people. And they are creaming off, that definitely, there's no doubt about that. I was on the Meat and Livestock Board in Borbia, and we were all the time fighting. They always sat across the table from us, the factory fellas, and we were always fighting for extra money. And they were all the time preaching how they hadn't it and they weren't making a profit and all this thing. And yet, on top of that, they're getting bigger, their plants were getting bigger. They're now have a monopoly within a few people in the meat plants. The competition is gone out of that business, because it's down to a few players, and that has been allowed to happen by the government, and I think it should never have been allowed. Okay. And as I said, the live exports are crucial to get out as many young cattle, especially the quality type cattle.
You get more competition and it might keep the price up.
Correct. Okay. And in this area, you have a lot of very good top quality Wainlands being produced. And at the present moment, people are taking below the cost of production. Okay.
And there are more storm clouds on the horizon. We'll talk about those when we're back in a couple of minutes' time. We'd love your thoughts at home as well. 086 1800 964.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.
And you're very welcome back. We're taking a look at farming as we broadcast live from Tulla this morning. I'm joined here in our outside broadcast unit by Councillor Pat Hayes, by Eddie Punch, General Secretary of the ICSA, and Martin McMahon of the ICMSA here in County Clare as well. And during the break, our discussion has continued. And I'll return to yourself, Martin, because Brexit is very much on the horizon. And for everything that we've talked about and all the issues facing farmers in Clare, if, as the Bank of England predicts, in the event of a no-deal, cliff-edge scenario Brexit, sterling was to go down by up to 25%, then things would get an awful lot worse again.
Well, I suppose, Kevin, I suppose we'd be living on hope, and we always live on hope. You'd be hoping that wouldn't happen, and especially that 25% drop in sterling would be the real key
weaker altogether. Weaker than the US dollar is what the Bank of England said yesterday.
Very, very, very serious, and hope it won't get to that. Mm. And I suppose, you know, England is a very important market to us, as you all know. It's nearly 50% of what we produce here has been exported to England, which is our nearest market. And I was preaching that how close England was to us, sure, and how near it was, and it was better than going to any other part of Europe. But at the same time, this is where Bord Bíoch comes in. How important it is to be looking for other markets outside of England on the brink.
But you're going to
Brexit.
Need 10 or 15 markets to make up the size, I would
you
have thought.
That's,
you know?
That's the thing about it. That's the problem.
And even Eddie Punch, that's the nightmare scenario, the 25% fall. Even the, you know, everybody agrees it and there's a smooth and orderly transition, even that has its own impacts. And Ireland, and it seems farmers in a particularly acute sense, are in the firing line.
Yeah, there's no good Brexit outcome that you can see at the moment. And the problem is that, you know, and I always thought that the nature of the EU is they'd cobble some deal together even at the 12th hour, and they've done it. But it seems Theresa May has no hope of getting it through in the House of Commons. But worse than that is the fact that all of the alternatives have no hope of getting through either. So this is a really alarming scenario at the moment. You would still have to hope that common sense will prevail eventually. And in a way, maybe the Bank of England has done some service to the UK to maybe try and focus people on the fact that they're messing around with, you know, they're playing with fire here. I expect it'll be defeated in the House of Commons in next week. But perhaps then, when people look at the edge of the cliff, there'll be, you know, they'll have to be a relook at this.
Have we not been saying that for 2.5 years?
We have, but, you
3 years even before the referendum.
We have. And sometimes people have to be dragged to, you know, as I say, the edge of the cliff before common sense kicks in. Because what you're getting now in the UK, and, you know, I don't want to be, you know, I suppose, gloating about this, is that the UK has the most disastrous lack of leadership from both of the main political parties. I mean, you can say the Tory extreme right have been an absolute horror story, but equally, the Labour Party has been a disgrace in the way it has shown no leadership either on this. As someone, I think Theresa May said to Jeremy Corbyn, her shopping list was longer than his strategy on Brexit. And until such time as the UK faces up to the fact that none of the alternatives, you have Boris Johnson saying if he was there, he'd do this, that and the other. He was there and he did neither this, that or the other. So
the only thing, though, that I can say to counter that is we have a very biased view of Brexit in this country. And I think there's a lot of frustration in Ireland about it. This is what the people voted for. And I have some sympathy for Theresa May in that I don't think her heart is fully in it, but she is trying to deliver the results of the referendum.
She is. And, you know, the deal that was cobbled together wouldn't be, you know, such a bad deal if they looked at it, because it would still enable trade to continue. What we need to avoid is tariffs on our exports to the UK, and what we need is markets to, you know, be stable around sterling. Sure. Those are the two things. If that doesn't happen, then we in Ireland have a big question to ask about the sustainability of our expansion strategy. We have, I suppose, obviously we have to try and get new markets, and live export markets, as Martin mentioned, are vital. But there is no realistic scenario where we can replace the UK market overnight. Okay. So,
Councillor Hayes, it's a lot easier being Horace Cundy on Clare than 10 Downing Street at the moment anyway.
Well, sometimes we have our own little republics in Clare.
Stakes
too.
Stakes not quite as high, thankfully.
No, but I suppose if you look at a lot of issues, Brexit has an effect on business and everything as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking about agriculture today, and it's shocking really now to think that where we are and we're playing with real fire here. Mm. And to see the politics of it. I think Eddie alluded very much, and the biggest disappointment to me has been the Labour Party. Been in England a few times now and debated the issue with family, friends and people over there about Brexit, and God, there's families divided. It is one of those big things. Even if you went for another referendum in the morning, I'm not sure would you win it either, because they've become entrenched in their views now.
And it's about more than the economy.
It's about... We have to be careful.
Nationhood, it's about... Yes,
the empire again. Yeah. But that's not good. I shouldn't be saying that. There are a lot of people, but it is about where we stand in the world and all that. And I think if they had, in hindsight, if Cameron had his view on it again, he'd have gone and forgotten about it. Because what has it done? And I just, in fairness to Theresa May, I give her great credit. She has fought a huge battle. Mm. And it must be very hard to do any business in England at the moment, to do anything in England. But it has left us in a very scary position here.
Would you agree?
I would actually, and there's issues as well in relation to Shannon and connectivity into Europe and everything.
Absolutely,
like that, which are bigger issues as well that affect us all.
It goes far beyond and the transport of goods to the continent.
But I think the worry
that,
here is, and you know, we've been a bit negative about farming and the future and all that, but in fairness, the farmers are a very resilient bunch, and they continue to have had hard years, and they've had bad weathers, and they've had issues around a whole lot of things over the years, and they've always continued to fight on, but it's a diminishing thing, and a big blow like Brexit that comes bad and over the cliff would have a major impact. And I don't think that we're prepared at all. We're just wondering, will this happen or might happen? And I think Eddie has very much looked at the picture and says, maybe if it is defeated in the House of Commons, that there will be a rethink within people, and there might be a bit of common sense, because if there isn't common sense here, we're all going to be in trouble.
I've got a couple of minutes left. I'll go down the line and I'll go back to yourself, Martin, first of all. And I'm going to try and strive. And you may criticise me for being naive if you wish, but I'm going to try and be somewhat positive and try and find a solution. And I go back to the ways that farming used to be. As we all look at what's happening on a macro level outside of farmers' control, can anything more be done to develop local markets and selling locally and producing your products locally and taking the big guy out of it? Is there any sort of a solution there?
Well, I suppose going out from today, I suppose the most important thing of all is that people get their food locally and they know where they're getting their food and they know the quality of the food that's been produced. And as I've said here earlier on, the type of cattle that's been produced here in County Clare and Tulla and the locality is a superior top quality product coming from a very natural environment. And we see Borbia and all the people talking about Origin Green. We never had anything as green as what the countryside is around here. And I suppose, you know, we have an awful lot of hardship in the countryside around here. It's tough country to work on from a farmer point of view. You have a lot of very marginal type land. And what
but
the farmers...
The passion has been there.
It has been there, and hopefully it will be there in the future. Okay. And the only way that it can be done is by people taking a serious look at where their food comes from, helping to support the people that are producing it, and saying for the long term, we want our food coming from a locality that's green and fresh and a good quality product.
Are there any silver linings, Pat Hayes, in the cloud?
Well, it's quite interesting. I was reading the Farmers' Journal, not that I'd be a fan of the Farmers' Journal either, but that's not here and there. At least it gives some view on farming.
Yes.
And it might be biased in its own view, but the reality
it is what it is,
but in fact what is good to hear is that there's the people themselves within the beef industry are taking a hold and starting to get together to demand better prices at a national level. And we have to take on those multi corporations that are actually raping the money out of farmers. But look, at in the end, times are going to have to change here in terms of farming locally and all that, and whether the government like it or not, in order to sustain communities, they're going to have to improve grant and to try and subsidise farming, to try and keep farmers who are the custodians of the environment locally. And that's what's going to keep communities together. And if there isn't a change in that, you see, at the moment under rural development, you see funding going to bigger projects here around the county and around different parts of the country. In the end, you have to go back to the core, the people that are living on the land, to try and sustain them and encourage people, young people, whether it is part-time farming, which is the majority of a lot of this Clare at the moment, is to say, look, there is a future and there is an opportunity and we will support you. And I think that should be done by all political parties.
And very briefly, Eddie Punch, if you don't mind, I did want to get on, as Pat Hayes mentions, the environment. I did want to talk to that. We will return to it in another stage, but are there any hopes?
I think if Brexit goes anywhere wrong, we have to look for extra funding from Europe. to develop the image and market our suckler beef a lot better. I think when you look at all of the talk about animal welfare all over, you know, markets all over the world, we've got the best animal welfare for our sucklers. We have the best beef out of our sucklers. But we're doing a terrible bad job in marketing that as a premium speciality product. When you look at the way the Japanese can get so much money for their beef, we've got to do more and say, this is not any ordinary product. This is not cheap chicken. This is quality, high-value animal welfare product. And we should look for money from Europe to do a real job in marketing that. And I think if we did that, we might have some hope.
I need to leave it there. But I thank you all for joining us this morning. Eddie Punch, Martin McMahon and Councillor Pat Hayes, we do appreciate it. When we're back, we will hear about a concert taking place in Ennis this Monday night, at which the issue of homelessness is very much to the fore.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.